We are a bit ahead of schedule, but it gives room for a presentation of the Korean experience, which is a most interesting one, and I will give the floor to Daku.
I want to first thank Chairman Prada, Hans, Yao, and my fellow trustees for giving me the opportunity to be able to present to you the current experience of adoption. I am very happy today. This report was originally intended to be an internal review of the effect and the results of adoption. However, Korea has decided to open this report because we believe that it would be beneficial for countries who are planning an adoption the IFRS. Also, I think the foundation can greatly benefit from the experience as well. If the foundation feels that this report can be used to further the goal of global adoption of a single set of high-quality standards, Korea welcomes the wide use of this report to your future activities. Korea adopted IFRS in full in 2011 in an effort to improve international investors' perceptions of the transparency of financial statements provided by Korean entities. The adoption was also to demonstrate Korea's strong will to take part in the international movement toward a single set of high-quality global accounting standards. As the adoption required a major overhaul of Korea's accounting system, the government took the greatest care it could in deciding on the adoption. Korea chose to employ a Big Bang approach in adopting full IFRS instead of taking the phased-in or convergence approach, and the single-tier accounting system of Korea was switched to a two-tier accounting system. Korea went through 2 full years of in-depth discussion and coordination work with a broader spectrum of stakeholders before it made its official decision to adopt IFRS. During the 2 years period, Korean government organized a task force named the IFRS Adoption Task Force, which is comprised of 16 members from the Ministry of Strategy and Finance, Financial Supervisory Service, KASB, Korea Exchange, Korea Federation of Small and Medium Businesses, Korea Institute of Certified Public Accountants, accounting firms, and the Korea Accounting Association to provide a forum for systemic and profound discussion among related organizations. In the process of discussing the adoption of IFRS, it was extremely important to make policy decisions on issues such as the manner in which IFRS will be adopted, the length of a preparation period, and the extent of the scope of application, etc. For example, there was a heated discussion on whether listed small and medium enterprises should be included in the scope of IFRS application. From listed SMEs' point of view, particularly from the point of view of venture companies, the IFRS adoption cost was too great to agree to adoption. However, protection of investors was much more significant than the cost issue because many venture companies had high investment risk relating to the venture bubble. As a result, listed SMEs also become subject to IFRS adoption. What I'd like to emphasize here is the in-depth discussion and the coordination among various stakeholders are tremendously important in the process of deciding the adoption. On the adoption was decided, the government took the necessary measures to amend the accounting infrastructure, including the related laws and regulations, and they utilize the various task force to facilitate the process. In particular, cooperation with the tax authorities was of great importance, as accounting standards are closely related to the tax law. It was necessary to seek ways to reform the tax law in a way that addresses tax burden equality issues arising from applying different tiers of accounting standards and prevents increase in the entity's tax burden or tax adjustment workload. Despite the immense effort of Korea in the adoption process, constituents in Korea encountered numerous challenges and difficulties in adopting the new accounting standards. As with any case of adopting a new system, difficulties unavoidably arise in the earlier stage of the adoption process. Thus, the hardship faced by the Korean constituents newly adopting the IFRS was almost predetermined. So, Korea devoted a diverse effort and employed various methods to overcome such difficulties. One of the key areas that authorities placed much focus on during the preparation and implementation of IFRS was the area of education. The KSB, Financial Supervisory Service, KICPA, Korea Listed Companies Association, have closely worked together to provide entities and accounting professionals with education programs of around 500 hours per year. The education program was not just the simple deliveries of the detailed information on IFRS. An important part of the education program was persuading the attendees of the fact that principle-based standards are more sustainable than rule-based ones from the long-term perspective. However, many stakeholders are still having difficulties in doing away with the past rule-based standards that they have used to and adapting to a new set of conceptual framework. I believe, however, that such transitional difficulties would be resolved in time if the authority maintained their strong and consistent will to continue with the education program. Another point I'd like to make regarding the education on principle-based standards is that one cannot overemphasize the importance of meticulous preparation by accounting firms. Under principle-based standards, interpretations of the standards are often left to the judgment of accounting firm performing the audit. In such a case, there may arise questions as to whether the accounting firm has the capability or is in position to interpret the standards in a fair manner. Thus, it is most important to prevent such issues from arising in advance. Based on such a diverse effort put into IFRS adoption, Korea now expects to see improved perception of the reliability of financial statements prepared by Korean entity and enhance the status of Korea in the international accounting community. While trying to overcome the stumbling blocks, Korea realized that following are essential in promoting successful implementation of IFRS in any country. Invigorating discussion about IFRS among constituents at home and abroad, and preventing the psychological stress of stakeholders from getting exaggerated by providing sufficient education and the promotion of IFRS, receiving more robust support from the IFRS Foundation, and having the role of the IFRS Interpretation Committee strengthened to provide better assistance to new adopters. As you are all aware, a new financial reporting language would be implemented smoothly only when it is accompanied by the unwavering will of the adopting country, the organization of a related system, and the strong support from the foundation. In closing, I'd like to share with you some of the concerns raised by stakeholders in Korea regarding the IFRS application. And to draw your special attention, I want to open some ideas between ourselves and not open to the outside. For IFRS adopters, it is of crucial necessity to have IFRS Foundation promptly address the issues that arise in practice. In reality, IFRS Foundation is more intensely focused on the reducing the resistance to IFRS adoption in countries that have not yet adopted. Recently, I understand that Korea has some issues arising from the implementation of IFRS. Although the Korean Accounting Society have discussed these issues with IASB and the IFRS Interpretation Committee for clarification, but it was not easy to obtain a timely response. I understand that the IASB's and the IFRS Interpretation Committee's work are not supposed to be oriented toward a certain geographical region or a certain standard. However, if the foundation is not as responsive in addressing the issue of IFRS adopters, this may discourage the countries that are considering adoption of IFRS. In order to resolve this issue, I'd like to suggest forming a task force devoted to solely addressing issues arising from new adopters of the IFRS. As it is clear from the Korean experience, the most assistance is needed within the incubating period of a new set of standards. In achieving the global proliferation of a single set of high-quality standards, the number of the adoption country is not as important as the quality of adoption. The important factor is how the country has adopted IFRS, whether it is a full adoption, adoption with partial carve-out, or just simply permitting the use of IFRS as a reporting language. In case of Korea, we have to endure huge sacrifice and work diligently in order to fully adopt IFRS. For example, during the initial phase of adoption, the small and medium enterprises have rigorously opposed the adoption due to the large transition cost. This complaint still remains as a large hindering factor in convincing small and medium enterprises that has the benefit of adoption significantly overweigh the cost. Also, the rate-regulated industries such as gas and electricity companies are struggling due to the lack of specific guidance, which is a characteristic of a principle-based accounting standard. Even in the face of such adversity, Korea has done everything in its power to faithfully abide by the IFRS. However, IASB and the IFRS Foundation seem to concentrate on the project with the powerful non-adoption countries rather than the incubating the voluntary adoption countries such as Korea. As I have mentioned before, we had to change the related laws and regulations to tailor to the full adoption of IFRS. Even after the adoption, Korea has steadily increased its financial contribution to the IFRS Foundation in line with our vision to promote these high-quality standards. However, even if Korea has shown much effort, there has been a considerable lack of encouragement from the IFRS Foundation. I fear that other countries planning on adopting IFRS might become discouraged observing how Korea has been suffering in the course of the full adoption. Aside from accounting standards, the Korean accounting regulations and policies were heavily rule-based standards before the adoption. Although we knew it would be a painstaking procedure to transition to the principle-based standards, we did not hesitate the execution once the decision was made. Therefore, I believe the Korean experience can prove to be an priceless asset in the standard setting amendment activities, as well as a benchmarking model for many nations that are hesitant about adoption due to the high level of transformation and the cost involved. In this regard, ASEAN-Oceania office may have a special concern on these common issues for the Northeast Asia, including China and Japan. Setting aside any bias, I strongly believe that the Korean model of IFRS adoption is a benchmarking model for any country considering adoption. I fear that the goal of a full adoption will face challenges not only in Korea, but also around the world, if Korea could not make a smooth pathway as a full adoption country. In the future, I hope the IFRS Foundation will become an international society of IFRS adoption countries instead of what may seem like a non-adopting big country group. I am very much eager to see some appropriate measures taken at the foundation level to address these issues faced by the new adoption countries. I hope you would find this report informative and useful. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Doug Poo. I think this is a remarkable piece of work and extremely interesting. There are lots of information there and lots of messages also we have to consider, and we are certainly grateful for this presentation. I don't know whether we have at that stage any comments on some of the questions that have been raised by Doug Poo. There is a lot of food for thought and a lot of things we should think about, but maybe we already have a few reactions or comments or questions, and so I would invite members to give their views. Yongli Kalu.
Thank you, Michel. I'm very, very happy and pleased to hear the my colleague from Korea to report their progress being made in the final or full adoption of the IFRS. We should commend their boldness, their courageous steps in the full adoption, particularly during the process of IFRS full adoption being supported by the majority of the global community. We carefully studied the report even before the meeting. We sent our delegation to Korea to have a bilateral discussions, try to find out what kind of lessons, experience they learned, what kind of challenges they met. So this is a first comment. The second is I have some suggestions, because now we should have more support for countries, for economies to go ahead with full adoption of IFRS. We should disseminate, number one, disseminate the information about the adoption practice in Korea. And number two is promote or encourage countries, the economies, to look at the Korean case or to follow their practice Number three is that provide necessary support to solve the issues they met in this process. Just now I heard Baku mentioned about the task force. I think we should really look into this issue. Finally, the I think Asia Oceania office could also promote this practice in regionally. So that is my very preliminary thought or thinking about the Korean's practice. I think particularly the final chapter of the report mentioned about lessons learned and advice to the prospective IFRS adopters. Very, very good points mentioned there. The particularly most important issues, resolution of the authorities. Thank you.
Thank you, Yong Lee. Callum.
Chairman, first of all, can I just say thank you to Doug Koo for such a fascinating report, which I think is a very important antidote to some of the more alarmist views about the difficulties of implementation. But could I ask one particular issue? You, in the paper, specified that there was a discussion and a clear decision to go for a big bang rather than a gradual approach. And I'd be very interested to know a little bit more about the thinking that lay behind that decision, and in particular whether the cost you thought would be imposed upon people facing the transition would be reduced by the Big Bang approach.
Okay. there are many kinds of approach in handling the catch-up, the new advanced systems around the world. But Korea is not always in the position of the Big Bang approach, especially the financial market opening in the case. We should be there under the step-by-step approach at the time. But in this case of the accounting standard, I think we think the total associated cost with the early adoption of the new accounting standard, then maybe Big Bang approach is much smaller than this in the spring. That was a Korean government decision at the time. It's a very painstaking procedure, because politically we are in the very much obsessed by the strong opposition, especially nowadays when new president-elect is declared some discourage of the big conglomerate and supporting the small and medium industry. I'm not quite sure how I can defend more in the politically. But we have firm belief this kind of Big Bang approach is much better in handling the issue as a total approach. Thank you.
Thank you. I go around the table. Kim. First of all, congratulations and thank you again for sharing that experience. I would just be interested in two points. One, were there any surprises that, with all of the intense planning and the number of years that you had worked this, were there some significant surprises that came as you went through the implementation? And then secondly, on the cost point, as it gets to individual companies, now that you have the adoption behind you, if we were to survey those companies, would they say benefits are exceeding costs? Were they comfortable and satisfied now that the whole transition is through, or is there still some resistance that something was imposed on them that they didn't want to do and that there were dramatically more costs than benefits?
Frankly speaking, Korea's large global player like Samsung and LG and SK, they have much of a benefit from this new adoption. But the small and medium industries for just domestic use, they sacrifice. That is the very important political decision. Our persuasion was made under the basis of the you should be more transparent in the long run. Because after 10 years, big conglomerate, large global players period will be fading out. And very strong small and medium industry will preside over the all of the world market. That is the trend of the national economic development. That's why your ability to manage the transparent management will be proved to be very less costly in the future. That was our persuading point at the time. But still, there are very much complaints.
But a two-handed, if I may, because you mentioned the different reaction between the big ones and the small and medium ones. I was struck by a statistic on page 33 of your report where I see that the proportion of non-listed entities voluntarily applying IFRS is extremely high, which shows that there is a trend which goes beyond the obligation. And I think this is interesting and challenging because, as we know, the issue of SMEs is growing everywhere in the world, and I see that they are not obliged to do it, but nevertheless, they in majority do it.
At the initial stage, we announced that our profound task for this project was how can we reduce the Korea discount, so-called Korea discount, in the face of the North Korean situation. And also, we're a small open economy, and non-compatible currency country. All of this is the main element of the Korea discount. And further, we should remove any other element like untransparent practice of accounting. That was killed people's mind. That was our government policy at the time.
Thank you. I go around Jeff and then Ron, and then I go back to Shandu.
Thank you, Jeff. I too echo the sentiments. I think this is an outstanding document and one that we will all receive a great deal of benefit over. In the Australian context, we too went big bang, and I was very interested in Sir Callum's question because looking back on it, from our experiences, there's no doubt that in the end it was the best approach for Australia. But there is no doubt also that that's not necessarily the best approach for other jurisdictions. And in supporting the idea of a task force, I think that an area that really does need to be considered and amplified beyond perhaps what's in your paper is in fact the alternatives of a non-Big Bang approach. I think that needs to be perhaps teased out and evaluated a little bit further. The other matter that I would like to bring to the benefit of the trustees is in fact that you extended IFRS to the public sector. In Australia, we too have undertaken that, and I think that as we go forward with our strategies, the consequences of IFRS being applied in the public sector is something that we as trustees need to continue to reflect upon. Thank you.
Robert?
Chairman, I think I will join my colleagues in saying that this has been really quite a revealing and remarkable exercise. I think my question really is this. bearing in mind the difficulties that you're experiencing now, how much of that would be attributed, if at all, to the experience of the accounting profession in Korea? And if there's anything, you know, we can do as a region in Asia, I mean, Hong Kong would certainly be, you know, happy to, if we can join, and I'm sure, likewise for Australia, you know, Jeff and I can, you know, talk to our local sort of ICPAs.
Yes, we have another constraint in practice, that is the Korean public accountant also very accustomed to the rule-based practices. For example, now the banking sector, we have four big banks, and they have different for big accounting firms, but they have all different accounting practices right now. This is the problem. That's why we raised a question to the interpretation committee or ISB, but over the answer. This is the early stage of adoption. That's why now we are almost adjusting ourselves, and we made some internal decision. But I strongly hope in the next following adapter should not have this kind of painful season of self-adapting. Okay.
Thank you. Well, I will go the other direction, then Shen Lu, and then Dick, and then Aki.
I would like to join my colleagues in congratulating Korea Daegu on this excellent paper. More so from me, because I think there's much practical wisdom there that India can learn from, since we are a future adopting country. I am still interested in the question of big bang versus gradual, because we seem to hear in our jurisdiction a lot of support for a gradual approach. And when you said big bang, did you apply it across listed, unlisted, small, large, or was there any distinction? Because we get this argument that if I'm not listed on an exchange and if I'm not raising capital abroad, then what's wrong if I continue with my existing system? The other argument we hear is that where are you suddenly going to produce accountants who are trained in IFRS for serving the 10,000 companies or 50,000 companies that exist across India? Should you not first push the larger companies to come in who can afford this cost, and as accountants get trained, then phase in the other companies? So did you face similar questions, and what was your consideration in doing the plan? Thank you.
I think this should be vary from country to country, I think. Maybe China. It's very diverse society and a different level of development. And India, also the same kind of situation, I think. In the case, the Big Bang approach may be applicable to that big country, like China and India. I don't believe that is always true. Sometimes we should be wise enough to avoid any the unnecessary cost by the Big Bang approach. But politically, the Big Bang approach is much easier to go further. If you may enter the phased-in approach, in that case, it takes around 20 or 30 years long.
Okay, Dick.
Thank you, Michel. As far as I can recall, I think this is the first time in such a meeting that we talk about the experience of a specific country. And I think that the things the two told us are very, very interesting. And it did me wonder to what extent, and if I see the discussion here around the table, people sharing their experiences, if we should not do this on a broader basis. And I understand immediately if you do this, it can be a huge operation. But on the other hand, I think if you talk about adoption of IFRS, and if there are similarities within specific countries with the problems that we'll be facing and were faced by Korea, it could be very worthwhile to exploit it a little bit more and see if there are common lessons, not only Korean lessons, but common lessons for other countries that we really should consider in the work we do. Because on the one hand, we can work with a set of rules, but if the application of these rules and the introduction of these rules can be very complicated in country, we should take great care of that. Thank you.
Thank you. Aki?
Thank you for your country, the great exercise. And I think it was a very good lesson for us how to pave a way to the fast adoption. Of course, the country style is different, but I think we can learn many things from your country. Actually, we invited you, your KISB, to satellite office opening ceremony and ask KISB people to explain what do you have done. That is very helpful. My question is you said that you are going to publish a book about the Korean experience. When it is published, and I think that we can use that document for promotion of the IFRS adoption.
New publication is on the way. Maybe I will circulate before the April meeting.
Good. Paul.
Well, I'd certainly like to echo the compliment for an excellent report. And as I read it, I could relate to many of the issues that you raised. And I do think there's tremendous value in documenting the experience so we can share it with others. There are a lot of impressions and misconceptions out there that really, I think, would benefit from more factual information of this nature. Reflecting on a couple of the points that were raised in this, Canada was going through our recent transition, the question of Big Bang versus phase-in was one of the first that we addressed. Our conclusion was also Big Bang. Interestingly, that was a strong consensus view of all of our stakeholders. It was not imposed by anyone. When we worked our way through it, in our circumstances, and I would agree each country's circumstances differ in important respects, but it was interesting that the business community, our educators, users agreed that for us, the least painful, never a pleasant experience, was Big Bang. And it has caused no market disruption that we've been able to detect. On the question of cost, because we also had a lot of resistance, I think like you may have, with our smaller listed companies. They have a great many very small listed companies who initially wanted something different. They talked themselves out of it because they didn't want a discount because they were using an inferior product. We are in the process of doing some empirical research with the help of the foundation. And it's interesting, the initial feedback, which is mostly from the smaller companies, is that for most of our smaller companies, the costs are significantly less than they had budgeted. Now, that is biased because we have not yet heard from the very large organizations. But I thought it was interesting that the sector that was perhaps the most stressed out, being the small and medium-sized ones, in fact, overreacted. And I think my lesson learned is if we had spent even more time, as you're suggesting, addressing their anxieties, that it might have made it a little less stressful for them. But we will share that information. I'm hoping, you know, within the next few months, you're going to engage with some of that constituency to make sure we're understanding their experience. And we'd be happy to share that. I think that, again, that would help.
For the smallest listed company, usually venture companies, the KICPA, they have a special offering at the low cost or free of charge at the early stage. It's under the government guidance at the time, yes. But the, still the Korea CPA also complained about government.
That helps. Okay, PK.
The Korean adoption is a source of inspiration for people like me because being a fellow Asian country, your bold decision to do a big bang adoption and the process of going through that is definitely a source of inspiration. Like you said, different countries should adopt different strategies that fit their needs. One of the biggest aspects for adoption of a globally accepted high-quality standards is to reduce the cost of capital. You mentioned in your presentation about this Korean discount is one of the motivating factors for that. There have been studies done in various places in Europe post-2005 about the reduction of cost of capital. What, if any, studies are undertaken in Korea to demonstrate the fact that Korean discount has come down such that it would be a very compelling story as long as it is academically supported? That would be a very compelling study to illustrate there. So I would be very interested to know what are the steps taken by the Korean government or the academia to demonstrate that.
We have new understanding about the overall cost of capital in the Korean industry as a whole. But question is, the people do not understand the long-term benefit at the initial stage. They always complain about the short-term cost rather than long-term low cost of financing in the future. That's why, in this case, it's very important to note that the government will to make some balancing the long-term benefit and the short-term cost. That is the very important element in the decision-making, I think.
Yes, please, Weibo.
I think about cost of capital and discount, we should look at the benefit from another perspective, and that is the future value of the company and not the cost side. I'll give you one example. It is quite comparing. You know, current Chinese Central Bank governor, once our chairman, you used this example many times. I fully agree with you. When Central China was first listed in the U.S. and Hong Kong, and maybe you know the history, you know, the price so low, the company issued 5% of the shares. You know, let's assume raise, you know, $5 billion. But after go through the process, 3-5 years later,
the company issue another 5% shares, the price increased about 5 times. So the money they got increased about 5 times. So you can see we can look at the benefits from another angle. That is, your value increased dramatically, and your position takes over other companies will also dramatically increase. And this is my point, how to look at cost and benefit. I want to offer another aspect about Big Bang and phase in. And we should recognize another aspect, that is, many countries, as I understand, like Australia and Canada, even Korea or Japan, China, you know, before they decide Big Bang or not, they already went through a painful convergence process. This process is also an important process, learning to adapt as others. So this is one aspect. I think the only exception is the American proposal is quite unique. That is partial phase in. And it is the ones I never see.
Okay, we will not comment. We will not comment on that. I thought it would be useful to have sort of conclusion and possible responses on some items by Hans. But do you have any other comments or tack?
Thank you very much for your honest comments. And I think the biggest question is whether or not IASB has been helpful to Korea, or could IASB be helpful in the future for newly adopting countries? So I think IASB is trying our best effort to address this issue. And actually, we formed some committees. I am one of the members of the implementation committee. And we are trying to find out the best way to address the country-specific issues. But sometimes jurisdiction-specific issues may not be really jurisdiction-specific. This issue could be common issue, but because newly adopting countries newly adopting countries need to learn what other countries are doing. So therefore, it is quite important to have a kind of informal discussion with a member of ISB or with the members of staff of ISB. But however, we do not have enough resources, and it would be quite difficult for ISB members and ISB members of staff to cope with every single jurisdiction-specific issue informally. So question is, how can we increase the capacity of ourselves? One of the solutions is I would like to join the country like Korea to support ourselves. And if we could share your experience with newly adopting countries, and then if we could increase the more communications with the member of staff, that would help new countries to join, and that will ease the pain of newly adopting countries. And we opened Asia Oceania office, and in our office, we have good communication tools with the member of staff. And if you could visit our office, and then we will have more opportunity to have an informal discussion, which could solve many jurisdiction-specific issues. And this Friday, we will have some event in Tokyo. And I heard that one of your colleagues in Korea will visit our office. And we will discuss what kind of the future plan of our office. And I think it will help many countries.
Thank you, Tak. Hans, you wish to give your views and comments on this
remarkable report.
Yes, thank you very much. It is indeed a very good report and an excellent presentation by Dr. Koo. And it is obvious that Korea did an outstanding job. And it is also obvious that to do a job like that, you need vision and leadership. As Dr. Koo just said, I don't think there is any country in the world where they adopted IFRS, where companies came to the government clamoring, could you please put us through the costs of converting to another accounting system? We really want to incur those costs. We have nothing better to do. So please do that for us. In most countries, there was only a small minority of internationally active companies that did see those for whom those long-term benefits were indeed short-term benefits, and who could would have that vision that it would be beneficial to them. For most companies that are struggling on a quarterly to quarterly basis, this is something that, you know, that they feel that government is just imposing on them, and it's very hard for them to see the long-term benefits. So this does need vision and leadership, and Korea had that in plenty of supply. In the United States, we hear a lot from authorities, yes, but there are so few companies that want the introduction of IFRS. Well, first of all, those companies that do want IFRS are not allowed to take to use it. That could be a fruitful change in the future, but you should not really expect this to come spontaneously. You really have to have a vision on your economy, on your capital markets, and on the global good that this provides. So that was excellent. I think ISB, I think we did what we could at the time to help Korea. Wayne Upton, our director of international affairs, spent a lot of time in Korea. I think he must have been there like 10 times at least, and spent a lot of time there. But obviously, we can do better. Can do better in the future, and we have been setting up a lot of infrastructure to be able to do a better job in the future. We have indeed the implementation committee that Tuck was referring to. We have now an adoption committee where we are looking very closely at countries that are on the verge or could be on the verge, and how can we help. So this task force that you were asking for, Doug, I think we really have it in place already, and it's called the adoption committee. We have also taken a decision that IFRIC should become more responsive. We have recognized that with such a diverse constituency around the world, there is a bigger need for responsiveness of the implementation committee. We're going to form ASAP, which is another example of building further infrastructure to work with our constituencies. We have AOSSG now and the office in Tokyo. Tuck rightly mentioned how that would be helpful. We are doing the survey about how have countries implemented IFRS. That can give a lot of information about endorsement processes, etc., where countries can learn from each other. So these are all a lot of ways in which we can be more helpful than we have been in the past. And then, of course, you as trustees, I think you have tried your best to be encouraging to Korea. We have now a Korean board member. We have a Korean trustee. There we have, for example, not a Canadian board member at this moment. So I think we are very appreciative of what Korea has succeeded in building the Civic Korea, an extremely important constituent, and I think I hope we have been trying our best to show.
Thank you, Hans. Do you have any other comments or question on this report? If not, I would like to...
Just on the point on IFRIC, as Hans said, we're working hard to make it more responsive, but it's a fine line because we don't want to be a rules-based organization. We're all agreed on that. And the more interpretations there are and the more of those things that come out, the more rules-based we become. So it's a difficult, a continuing difficulty. And I wouldn't contemplate, I don't think, any possibility that IFRIC would become full-time. I don't think that's what we want in the long term.
Okay, I think we are very grateful for your presentation, Kuwa, and we do appreciate both the way Korea has dealt with this, the example it provides, and the lessons we can draw from this experience. I take from the discussion we had that we probably will have to think about the way we would be better informed on these issues in the future and be more proactive and exchange views. As Tom said, steps have been taken since you undertook your reform. We have the implementation committee, the adoption committee, but nevertheless, I think that we can, along what Dick said and a few others, we can probably improve the exchange of information and the information of the trustees themselves. We at home have to face some questions sometimes, and it's interesting to see how things go elsewhere. I was impressed by the way you dealt with SMEs and the reaction of SMEs in Korea. This is an issue which is raising in Europe. Clearly, the position by the EU authorities is that with regard to listed companies, they implement full IFRS as they are, but we see complaining companies saying it is too complex, we would like to have something else, so there are discussions about the possibilities to have different standards. We see non-listed companies not moving really, and the question is raised in Europe today, because I think that this is, as you mentioned, a development which will take place in the future. We'll see more SMEs taking the lead. So I think these experiences have to be shared, and the trustees will be certainly interested in having more information on this in the future. So thank you very much indeed for this excellent presentation. Having said that, we come to the end of our meeting. We are likely ahead of schedule, but after all, it will give us some time to chat and before we have lunch. I would like to come to the conclusion. I don't know whether you have any other questions. We have another part of the meeting, but which is related to a discussion with the chair of the monitoring board, and this is a specific meeting in the afternoon. So, and this is this has been scheduled at 2, and it's a trustee meeting only. So we come to the end of this meeting. Do you have any comments or questions we've not addressed? If that is not the case, I would conclude the meeting. I would like to express thanks to our Hong Kong friends. It was we had a remarkable welcome in Hong Kong, and I would through Ron express our gratitude to our Hong Kong friends. And I know you played a role in this, and so thank you, Ron, for your contribution.
I would also like to thank the staff for the organization of this meeting. Everything was perfect, as usual, I would say. But nevertheless, they deserve compliments for perfect of the organization of these meetings. Thank you, and let's